Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the out to home group meeting for the month of October. And before I get going, I always get some emails from Bishop John from Kigali, Rwanda, and he always says to be sure and tell him hello from the home group meeting, and I said I would do that. And Pastor Etienne from a town called Ruwengeri in the Congo, in the land of the seven volcanoes, he also says he wants me to say hello from the home group meeting to him. And so, hello, Pastor John. Hello, Pastor Etienne. And we love you and thank you for listening, and all the other people that listened to the home group meeting, you know, from our website, and all the wonderful comments. We really enjoy that. Amen. Let's go ahead and get into what the Lord has for us tonight. Amen. As we do, we go ahead and we like to go ahead and look at 3 points from the previous week, and that way it gets our heart, you know, moving in our spirit into what we want to talk about. And the first point we'd like to look at is God's means. God's means, and as we saw last month, God's means can offend us. God's means, the ways that God does things, and the way He leads us and He guides us, and the Holy Spirit does all these things, if we are not careful, and unless we have a desire to be like Him, like that song we just sung, Change My Heart, O Lord, if we do not have a desire to be like Him, God's means will offend us, and we will stumble, and we will fall out of the way. So our heart must always be toward God, and so that no matter what happens in our life, even those things that God brings into our life, God's means, we will not stumble, and we will not fall out of the way. The next one was a very, very interesting point that we talked about, and that is we build relationships through hardship. We build a relationship through hardship. So I was looking at a magazine, and it was a Stars and Stripes Heroes edition, the 10th edition of Stars and Stripes, and there was a Silver Star winner. The Silver Star winner, his name was Chief Corpsman Benny Flores. And I was reading the write-up in that, and he made this statement right here, and it really stuck in my spirit. Now, this is a man who lost two of his legs in Afghanistan, and was wearing the Silver Star. He says that you build incredibly strong relationships through hard times. Wow. So the question is, why do good things happen to, why do bad things happen to good people? Or why do bad things happen to Christians? Well, we build strong relationships through hard times. Why do we suffer? So that God can soften our heart, so that we will have compassion on people that are less fortunate than us. Hardship will really develop strong relationships to one another. That was the second point. And the third point is training and the lessons of God will not kill us. Amen? The trainings and the lessons that God brings into our life, they will not kill us, but disobedience will. God's means and His ways and His trainings will not kill us. They're not designed to kill us. They're designed to kill our flesh, but they're not designed to kill us. But the only thing that will kill us will be our disobedience to God by not learning the things that He wants us to learn. Amen. So those were 3 points that we looked at last month, and next month we'll look at 3 points from what we'll be talking tonight. Today we'll go ahead and look at Wilderness Truth for Modern Times. This is number 16. And again, when we talk about the wilderness, we're not talking about this barren physical place. We are talking about difficult times and circumstances in our life. We are talking about the times when we go and, you know, the Lord draws us aside and brings us into narrow areas and, you know, begins to work in our life. Song of Solomon 8:5 says, "Who is he coming up from the wilderness leaning on the Beloved?" The wilderness is a place where God will take us so we can learn to lean on Him. So we can learn to lean on Him. The wilderness is a place where no one is around you and it's just you're all alone. It's a place where no one can hear you scream. The wilderness is a place, is a making place of God, where God alone can build you up. You know, Jesus, after He was water baptized and the Father spoke and the Holy Spirit ascended on Him and stuff like that, still that water baptism was not enough for Jesus to begin His ministry. Matthew 4 says that Jesus was driven into the wilderness. Wow, the wilderness is a place where you learn the lessons of things. And that's why we have the wilderness truth for modern times. We're in the wilderness of sin right now. And that is not sin as to miss the mark. But the wilderness of sin for the children of Israel was a place of conquest, but for training. It's the making of soldiers. It's the making of warriors, you know, to conquest. So we're looking at wilderness truth for modern times, 16. Galatians 4:29 says, "But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, and so it is now." And I will say that verse is very real today. "But as he that was born after the flesh, they persecute him that was born after the Spirit." Amen? Our training ground. "If our life is hid in Christ, in God, no one can do us harm." Can I get a big amen there?
Amen.
That's right. No one, if our life is hid in Christ, no one can do us harm. But we can harm ourselves.
Amen.
We can harm ourselves. All that Satan brings against us for harm, designed to destroy us, can only do us good. Now, we truly must believe that, that if our life is hidden in Christ, no one can harm us. Many Christians do not believe that. Many Christians, they say that, but they really, in their heart, they do not know that. And they do not know that because they have never had the opportunity to experience, you know, harm coming at them and God saving them. Amen. Our body can be killed, but that's all right. It doesn't matter what they do against us. They can crucify us. They can burn our bodies. They can defame us in every newspaper in the country. But they are all unable to touch us. They cannot touch us. The only thing they can do is do us good. We must come to a place in God where we know God's word is true. And the word "know" has nothing to do with faith. Nothing to do with faith. Faith is believing. Knowing is coming to a place of understanding through personal experience. You will only know something when you come into a place of personal experience, that you walk through that. You learn that lesson. Then you come to know what, you know, you were talking about. It is more than just believing for something, but it's actually experiencing something and coming to the place of understanding that you actually know that. Real faith, real coming to know, is what Queen Esther said. "If I perish, I perish." Because she was at the place, even before Mordecai, and she knew right then what was going to happen. It wasn't about faith, it was about knowing. She knew what was going to happen. And so she says, "If I perish, I perish." Even the enemy, now I'm going to use the word enemy, I'm going to use this in a general sense of the term. It could be bad people, could be Satan, it could be, but I'm going to use the word enemy just in general terms. Amen. Even the enemy will render evil for good. No matter how good we may be for the enemy, he will return evil for that good. But remember, evil is not a destroying nature to us. Wow. Evil is not a destroying nature to us. Because our life is hidden in Christ. Nothing can affect us. Nothing can hurt us. Nothing can kill us beside ourselves. The only one who is destroyed is the one from which it originates. That is a critical point right there. That is why Paul instructed Timothy to speak evil of no man. We're to speak evil of no man. Paul was not concerned about the man's welfare. No, no. He was concerned about Timothy's welfare. Because evil originates with someone, and only the evil can kill that person.
Wow.
Evil cannot hurt us. Evil cannot hurt us. But it can hurt the one that it originates from. Destruction is from within. So if someone is evil, then it will destroy that person. But that evil can never touch our life. And we must come to a place in God that we really believe that. No kidding, no fooling. And the destruction of that evil person comes from within. I know that is a deep thought, but it is true. Because most Christians never come to that place and they never understand a point like that. The person ruled by the Spirit is under pressure from the person ruled by the flesh, as we just read up there. Always, always, always. The person that is ruled by the Spirit is under pressure from the person of the flesh. And if you've ever had these type of relationships, then you know what I'm talking about. This is a spiritual principle. It's a spiritual law. Again, we'll read that verse, Galatians 4:29. But as then he that was born after the flesh, someone after the flesh, they persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. But that person that's born after the flesh cannot hurt the person that's born of the Spirit, because evil originates with that person that's born after the flesh. And evil will destroy him. And evil will destroy him. The meticulous piercings, the attempt to damage and destroy, the attempt to defame and to dishonor, the attempt to, all of these things result in wounds are found in today's world. And these things are the necessity. All those things I just read, these are things that are necessities of elements in the believer's boot camp. Wow, how about that? All of the defaming and the dishonoring and the insulting and all of those things, these are things that are necessity elements in a believer's boot camp. They are being used to train them for greater battles. Again, the wilderness of sin, and it's not in the midst of Mark or any of that, but the wilderness of sin, which was the third wilderness the children of Israel went into after they left Goshen, is called the making of soldiers. That's what it means. Because they were not ready to go in and conquer the promised land. They had to go 40 years in the wilderness so God could make them into soldiers.
Amen.
Because they could not go to the land of the Philistines, because God said they would pre-adventure and they would turn back and they would go back to Egypt. But God said, no, I will make them soldiers. And at the wilderness of sin is where this process begins in the children of Israel. In the 40 years, they fought eight battles, and they won all eight battles. The first year they were in the promised land, they had 31 battles. 31 battles. They weren't ready. They weren't ready at first, but God made them into soldiers. And so too in our life, these things, the dishonoring, the defaming, and all of those things in our life, all of that stuff in our, all that junk in our lives, these are necessary elements in making us stronger men and women for God. They are being used to train us for greater battles. When we justify ourselves, we make man our judge. When, I talked about being defamed and dishonored and all of this stuff. So when someone is defaming us and someone is dishonoring us and lying against us and all of these things, when we justify ourselves, we make that person our judge. Did you get that? We make that person our judge. So that's why God tells us to keep our mouth shut. Keep our mouth in the dust. And God will justify us. God will justify us. When we're being wrongly accused, when, who do you think you are? You shouldn't be going out. Blah, 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 blah. You don't say anything. You just stand there and you just smile and keep your mouth in the dust, and the Lord will vindicate you. But if you open your mouth, and start to defend yourself and justify yourself, then what happens is you make that man your judge. Then they could judge you. Just an interesting thought. But here in the wilderness of sin, God, a desire to develop, remember, faith and stamina. That is the work that God is desiring to do in the children of Israel in the wilderness of sin, is to develop faith and stamina in us. And if God can't do that, if God cannot develop faith and stamina, an ability to endure and to continue on, no matter the situation, no matter the things that we see, if God cannot build that in us, then He can't use us. Amen? If God can't get us to endure hard times, if He can't get us to endure, persecution, if He can't build His character in us, and we'll be able to do that, then He can't use us. He can't use us. Here, find somebody. Find somebody else. You know, perhaps the closer we get to our conquest, as with the children of Israel, the tougher the training becomes. And that's true. I know when I was in the military and I would have training, you know, it would be like a week before graduation. Let me tell you, the training was intense. Because they were weeding out the weak people. They were weeding out people that just couldn't, and it starts off easy, and the closer we get to, you know, the completion, the tougher the training got. And it's the same spiritual truth in our life. The closer we get to our breakthrough and things that we're praying about and stuff, you know, the tougher the battle is, the more intense the battle is. And so we just have to endure, we just have to continue and just keep plodding on through that and allow, until the Lord brings the victory. Amen? Amen?
Yeah.
More than one modern soldier has died in training. Amen? More than one has died in training. They did not endure it. They did not endure it. 2 Timothy 4:5 says, "But watch thou in all things." Now, when the Bible says all things, it means all things. It don't mean some things. It says, in all things, endure afflictions. What a promise. That's a promise from God right there. That we're going to have to endure afflictions. Wow. Do the work of an evangelist. That's not everybody being an evangelist. That's not what that's saying. Do the work of an evangelist is saying everyone share the gospel message. You know, because everyone can't be an evangelist. And make full proof of thy ministry. Or in other words, be ready to give account of your ministry. If there is to be a fulfillment that God is after, there must be the enduring. Amen? I'm going to read that again. If there is to be the fulfillment that God is after, there must be the enduring. If you will ever, ever amount to anything in God, you're going to have to endure through some very difficult things. And the more that you go through, the more difficult the things that you go through, there will be a greater fulfillment in your life. And that was worth coming for tonight. It really was. The more we go through, the greater the fulfillment God will bring into our life. Amen? You know, the longer we go in God, the tougher it gets. Now, I've been a believer since about 6 years old, and I've never really, and I'll be 60 here on the 31st of January, but I had to walk with the Lord where I am now, but, you know, at different levels as I grew. And you know, I have seen the longer that I go with God, the tougher it gets. And many Christians believe that, you know, the longer you go with God, the easier it gets. But the Bible says that we're climbing the holy hill to Mount Zion. We're climbing. We're going up. It's not a downward slide into heaven. It's not. The longer we go with God, the tougher it gets. And that's because God has already trained us. And there's an expectation on God's part that we do what He wants us to do. There's an expectation that God has trained us and He's looking for us to do the things that He knows that we need to do. God is looking for, and He expects. It's more than, you know, it's even more than looking for, but God expects us to execute the things that He wants us to do in our life. It's, if I had a board here, I would grow here. Here's a line, and right here where my two hands are, if there would be a dot, you know, you could see right here that the longer you go with God, my hands are spread out. And you can see this right here. We start, and my hands are spread out. And here it spreads out like this, and the longer we go, the more area we have. The more area and the more latitude we have. Mm-hmm. However, that is according to the reverse of that. And here we are in that big area. And the longer we go with God, we come into a greater restriction and limitation in God. The longer we go with God, the more of a restriction and limitation God brings into our life. Mm-hmm. because he's trained us. We start off in this big place, we can go, praise God, I'm going here and going there. But the longer we go with God, the more he brings us into this narrow place. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leadeth to life, not to heaven. You know, Jesus is not too much about wanting to go to heaven.
Amen.
He's not. Heaven's not on his radar as much as it is on ours.
Amen.
Jesus is concerned about bringing the life of God to us.
Yeah.
The life of God. The transforming revelation of God. Narrow is the way that leadeth to life. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. This big open place. Broad. But narrow is the way. So the longer we go with God, the narrower it gets. The smaller the opening gets. You know, it's kind of, oh, man, I'm limited. And I'm confined. I can only do what God wants me to do. I can only say what God wants me to say. I can only go where God wants me to go. I can't do what I want to do. I can't say what I want to say. And that's why the longer we go with God, that he expects all of this to happen into our life. That's the only way that we can ever come into fulfillment with God. Amen.
Yes.
Look at the words of Jesus in Matthew 10, 16 to 31. And it's a long verse, bunch of verses. So you have the outline, and we're not going to go there, even though it says go there, we're not going to go there. But when you get time, go ahead and just look at the promises from God. These verses are promises from God that tells you what to expect if you are a Christian. And I will tell you, if you read them, many Christians, read that and they say, well, that's not for me. And, they're off doing their own thing. But it's a very sobering reminder of the words that Jesus has for us in Matthew 10 and 16. Jesus is telling his disciples, and he's telling us too, exactly what they might expect in their Christian walk. One of those, in Matthew 10:22, it talks about enduring to the end. You know, the prize is not given halfway in the race.
Amen.
And the prize is not even given to the strongest
right.
and the brightest.
Amen.
It's not. The prize, the reward, is not given to the person who is the best and the brightest, the strongest and the bravest. That's not the person who gets the reward in Christ. The person who gets the reward in Christ is he that does it lawfully. He that does the things that God wants him to do within the law, or within the framework, or within the way that God wants things done.
Yeah.
That's what the word lawfully means, within the framework. He who wins the prize is the one that does it lawfully, does it the way that God wants it to be done. Amen. God has promised us persecution. Amen. Whoo! Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
He has promised us persecution and affliction. Those in this world shall endure affliction and persecution. But fear not, I have overcome the world. Same thing, God has promised us persecution and all of these things, not to see us suffer, but to make us strong men and women of God. Persecution, affliction, suffering, all of these things that we don't like to talk about. All of these things the children of Israel went through in the wilderness was meant to train them and to make them stronger men and women of God. Now, these promises that Jesus gives us in Matthew 10:16-31 are just as sure as our salvation. Just as sure as our salvation. Amen. Our greatest enemy, part 2. I tell you, our greatest enemy. There is only one person that can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. And that is you and I. And you know what? We are our greatest enemy. And you know what our greatest enemy's weapon is? The greatest weapon? I'm going to show you tonight. I'm sorry you guys can't see it, but I'm going to stick up my tongue. That right there. That is our enemy's greatest weapon. This, our tongue, has killed more people and has destroyed more lives and has wrecked more marriages and has just got people destroyed more churches than any weapon ever made by the devil. I'm telling you, our tongue is the greatest tool to our greatest enemy, and that is ourself. Satan cannot do it. God will not do it. And no man can do it. And no power can do it. There is only one person that can destroy us in hell. And that is ourself. Ourself. We are our greatest enemy. Our greatest enemy. I wouldn't trust myself as far as I can throw myself. And I'll be honest, I don't trust myself. The longer I go with God, the more I find myself doing and saying things that I swore I would have never said and done when I was a younger Christian. And that's true. I would never, wow, man. Don't sit there and look at me like, holy cow, because you're sitting here going to say the same thing, you know? But, you know, I wouldn't trust myself. I don't trust myself. I trust God. And I trust God has control of me. And the more I put myself in God's hands, the more, you know, the more I lean not on my understanding, but upon His understanding, then I know that I'm going to make it okay. And I'm going to be used of God. Amen? The Bible says that our heart is desperately wicked. Therefore, how can I really fully know such a heart? Wow. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10 says that our heart is deceitful above all, right? And it's desperately wicked. Can you believe that? Wow, desperately wicked. Man, our self is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, you know who can know it? God and us.
Amen.
Because verse 10 says, I the Lord God. So verse 9 says that our heart is deceitful and that's really wicked. Then verse 10 kicks in and it says, I, the Lord God. The question is, who can know it? I, the Lord God, can know that. And not only the Lord God, because if you ask Him, He will show you your heart. That is wicked. Wow. And He'll show you those areas where you can get better in. So there's two people can know our heart. And that is God, He knows all things, and us. God's desire is for us to ask Him to show us our heart. Because once we see our heart, then we have to either agree with Him. That's what, you know, we have to confess. The word confess means, I agree with God, what He's saying about me is true. That's what the word confess means. Or, no, that's not true. That's not me. And then when we confess that is me, then God can change my heart, oh God, as we want to. Psalms 34 has a wonderful verse, and a lot of Christians really don't understand what's going on here in Psalms 34:7. And Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourselves in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, wait a minute. Jeremiah just said that our heart is deceitfully wicked. Desperately wicked. I mean, you know, would you really want to have the desires of a wicked heart? I would not. I would not want to have. Again, I don't trust myself. Because I know without God working in my life that my heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Well, if you go back and you do a little bit of homework and you look at Psalm 37:4, you will find that word delight is not the word delight that most people think about. When we think of the word delight, we think of something happy and good and joyful. But that's not the word. That's not the word here, delight. That word delight means to become pliable, to become malleable, to become bendable, to become workable. Not happy and, woo, yeah, delight, yeah. No. Become pliable, become moldable, become bendable in God. And then He will give you the desires of your heart. Because when we allow God to mold us and shape us, as we saw in Change My Heart, O God, when we allow Him to do that, then it won't be our desires. It won't be our desires. It'll be God's desires.
Amen.
Then it'll be easy for God to give us what we want because His desires will be our desires. And our desires will be His desires. It'll be easy for God to bring that into our life because we will want what He wants. Our heart won't be deceitful then. It won't be desperately wicked. If we allow God to work on our hearts, then God will be able to give us those things that He wants to bring to our life. The enemy's design is to destroy us. It is. And that could be Satan. Definitely wants to destroy us. Bad guys want to destroy us. Just enemy, that general term, wants to destroy us. When the lion roared against Samson, it was for the sole purpose of scaring and destroying him. Wow. How about that? Samson slew the lion later. He found honey in the carcass of the lion. And of course, this is in Judges 14:14. And we know this was a riddle that Samson gave the men. If they could figure out the riddle, he would go ahead and give them many cloaks. Judges 14:14 said, "And he said unto them, out of the eater from the enemy that wanted to eat me." You know, you have an enemy that wants to eat you?
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
We all have an enemy. It could be Satan, or it could be other, that general term, wants to eat us, right? Came forth meat. Wait a minute, let me say that again. The enemy that wants to eat us. It's meat. It's food. It's meat. That's what the Bible says right here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Right? Out of the eater. The enemy that wants to eat me came forth meat. And out of the strong came forth sweetness. Wow. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. Of course, we know what happened. And so we say, come on to the lion. Amen? Come on, lion. Give me your best shot. Come on, enemy. Come on. Give us your best shot. Come on. We know that our supper is on the way. Come on, enemy. Come get us. You're my supper. Come on, enemy. My life is hidden in Christ. Nothing can hurt me. Come on. Do your best. We have no fear. We move under the impact of revelation, what God has told us to move in, not under the impact of the enemy of fear. Now, one of the first times I went to Africa, first time I ever went to East Africa, I was in Kenya. And we went up to Mount Kenya. There's two big mountains. One's Mount Kenya, and the other one is Mount Kilimanjaro, which is the tallest mountain in Africa. We went up to Mount Kenya. And we went out there, and there was a big pride of lions. And we were in this this big Jeep type thing. You could open up there, and you could get up, and you could look around, and which is not a good thing to do when there's a bunch of lions around. But anyways, I was standing there in the Jeep, and all of a sudden I looked around, and there was this big male lion. You see on Channel 130 on Charter, you were like watching the animal shows, and you see these lions, these big lions, you have no idea how big a real lion is. The paws are just huge. But one thing I noticed, that the big male lions were roaring and showing their teeth. But the Bible says that Satan is as a roaring lion. And what I come to find out is the lion that roars and shows his teeth is not going to attack you. It's not going to attack you. That's not the lion you have to worry about. It's the one you can't see. It's the females.
Amen.
The focus is on, this big male lion, he's going to get you. And you're focused, oh my God. Oh my God, this lion! And what happens from behind? The females get you. And then the male comes over and eats you. Wow. Come on, lion. Come on, enemy. The enemy's purpose is to scare and destroy us. No, 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 no. We will move under the impact of the revelation of what God has told us. And not under the impact of fear. Amen. Some parting thoughts. There comes forth from the enemy a type of meat which we do not find in other sources. Wow. Let me say that again. There comes forth from the enemy a type of meat which we do not find in other sources. Remember, here comes the enemy. He's our supper. Yeah, he's our meat. There are different aspects of our spiritual diet. There are all kinds of things on the menu. Amen? And in the wilderness, as God is training us and God is teaching us, and as we're going through difficult areas in our life, there's different training. There's different things that we will go through. And it's the analogy, as we're making with that lion, there's different things. It's a smorgasbord of food, spiritual food for us. Spiritual food for us to take in. Spiritual food for us to eat. No matter how bad it looks, no matter what it is, it can only do us good. Even the lion that died was dinner. You know? So the spiritual lessons that God has for us, they can't kill us. They're only meant to make us stronger men and women of God. There are different types of aspects in our spiritual diet. Amen. God uses different types of situations. Most strange to us. I have learned strange things that happen. Be quiet. I'm going to say that again. Strange things that happen to us, we need just to be quiet and not make a judgment. Not say this or say that or God is doing this or God is doing that or whatever. No. Keep your mouth shut and just step back and just observe what is going on. Because strange things to us are beyond our thinking and God is doing something that we do not see. So the best thing to do is just be quiet and step back and just allow God to, move in that situation. Amen. Types of situations and difficulties in our life to feed us from this table of necessities for our spiritual growth and development. God uses different types of situations to feed us of His necessities or His bounty and His good for our spiritual growth and development. The honey of the lion is on the menu. Amen? How sweet it is. That particular dish is not served in any other area. There are situations and circumstances in our life that we can take as spiritual food for our spiritual growth and development that is only provided in that situation, in that circumstance. Wow. That particular dish is not served in any other area. In the scriptures, we find a different kind of feeding. In waiting from the Lord, there will be yet another dish unto the other. On the mountaintops, there is food served in its own uniqueness. In the valley, the table is spread in the valley. Wow. On the mountaintops, there is food. In the valley, the table is spread with the valley. Wilderness food is always spread before us. You know what food is found in the valley? Broken bread. Broken bread. That's the food. That's the spiritual food that's found in the valley. In the valley, He restored our soul. And we eat of that broken bread. On the mountaintops, it's victory. Victory, sweet victory, yes. And we've got to experience both places. But you'll never, ever be able to experience the victory on the mountaintop unless you break off a little bit of the broken bread. If you want to live on the mountaintop, you got to eat of the broken bread. That's where you get the strength to climb the mountain. Wow. There are lessons in God that you can only learn in the wilderness. There are lessons in God that you can only learn in the wilderness. You can't learn them on the mountaintops. You can't learn them in plenty and bounty and all that good stuff. There's lessons, that spiritual food that you can only learn in the wilderness. And yes, sweet, the sweet taste of victory, the sweet taste of victory. We must experience that also. But again, it's the broken bread in the valley is where we get that. Man is not made for the mountaintops. Do you know that? Man is not made for the mountaintop. We want to live on the mountaintops, but man is not made for the mountaintops. Man is made for the valley. Man is made for the valley. In Psalms 51, David said, "The Lord is with those that are of a contrite spirit." Contrite. You know what the word contrite means? Crushed and ground to powder. God, I want you to be with me, okay? In the valley. God is with those that have been crushed and ground to powder. He promises. He promises He'll be with us. He promises that you have been crushed and ground to powder, and He will be with you. Man is not made for the mountaintop. No. Life in the valley is where we need God. And that's what man needs is God. And so man's need is God, and so man is made for the valley where man needs God. God comes and reveals Himself to us and feeds us in different ways, needing different circumstances and situations in our life in order to prepare and serve the different dishes that He has for us. God has His table spread. His table spread with all kinds of spiritual blessings. But you only get to taste of that, you know, that dish through a situation and a spiritual circumstance in your life. They're there. They're waiting. Oh, I think I'll have that one. Oh, no, I don't want to go through that sickness. Oh, no, I don't want to go through bankruptcy. Oh, no, I don't want to go through shame. But that's, you know, that's what the dish is for. You know?
Wow.
Wow. God comes and reveals Himself to us and He feeds us in different ways. All being convenient for us. All being convenient. Psalms 38 says, "Remove from me vanity and lies." I like this verse. "Give me neither poverty or riches." Wow. "But feed me with food convenient for me." I don't want money. I don't want poverty. I don't want vanity and lies. "But feed me food convenient for me," or "give me the food that I need to grow spiritually." Wow, what a verse. What are we allowing God to feed us with? Wow. What are we allowing God to feed us with? And, well, yeah, what are we allowing God to feed us with? How can we experience and know, "I am the Lord God that healeth thee"? Get sick. And then you will know that. You will know that. You won't believe that. You won't have faith. You will know. You will have that personal experience. And God has that little healing plate right there for you. You pick that up and consume it. God is feeding you that convenient food. Someone can tell us, but that's no experience. That's no feeding. That's no dish for us. It's on the menu. Well, here, bring it to me. We say, okay. Get sick. I am knowing we have a personal experience. And we taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus is the Savior. How do we know that He's the Savior? You first have to be, you know, needing and being saved. We have to be in a situation where only Jesus can save us. Only you can know Him as a Savior. I can know Him as a Savior, but I have to be in a situation where I need saved. Of course, we all need saved. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. But saving someone from your sins and saving us from situations in our life is something different. And when Jesus is our Savior, the word Savior means more than saving us from our sins. He will save us from ourself sometimes. Amen. He will save us from situations and circumstances that we have caused. He will save us from situations and circumstances He brings into our way for our spiritual growth and development. And so that word Savior is a big, big term. It's not, most Christians equate that just to their sin, but it's talking about much, much more. Last point. How do we know that God is the one that supplies all of our need? We have to be in need. In that situation, He comes. Then we know Him as the supplier, Jehovah Jireh. That is a part of our feeding, our training in the wilderness. Wow. The training of a soldier for conquest. That's God's goal in our life. As we go to the wilderness, and the children of Israel, as they went to wilderness of sin, and we'll go to, you know, Beersheba and all the other five wildernesses that we'll go through. But God's goal in the wilderness of sin and all the other wildernesses is to train them into being soldiers for conquest. For conquest. God doesn't need soldiers that does not know how to be victorious. And that's not up to God. He gives us the training. It's up to us. Do we receive that, right? And conquest and victory is where God always leads us, because there's no defeat in God. God has never lost. He never will. There's no defeat in God. If you're looking for defeat, you've got to go somewhere else. God is looking for victory and conquest. But for that to happen in our lives, we must learn the lessons that He has for us. We cannot make a mental approach to God. It must be a spiritual. God is the Spirit, and those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth, in the Greek. Actually, in the Greek, it's in the Spirit. Not in spirit, but it's in the Spirit in the Greek. There's a subtlety. In the Greek, it's in the Spirit. So you have to worship God in the Spirit. You can't worship God in spirit, because you have to be in the Spirit to worship God, because God is the Spirit. So you can't, you know, I like the Greek a lot better. So we must worship Him in the Spirit and in the truth. Amen. Experience that grips our very soul. That grips our very soul. The only way that we'll ever be able to worship God in the Spirit is when we allow Him to grip our very soul. And that's what God wants to do in our life. He wants to be able to grip our very soul. Not we grip Him. Not we grip Him. Because you know what? I will let go.
Yeah.
I got her.
Yeah.
But I may let go.
Yeah.
God will never let go. If we allow Him to grip us, to grip our very soul, well, then how safe are we? We are hidden in Him. He'll never let us go. It's not I have Him. It's He has me. And if He has me, what do I have to worry about? Amen. The making of soldiers. Wilderness of sin. Wilderness food for modern time, number 16. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to You now, Lord, we thank You and we praise You for Your love and Your many blessings, Father. Lord, we thank You for this time of ministry, Father, Lord God. Just thank You, Father, Lord, to all those that listen over the internet and all the wonderful comments and emails. And I just thank You, Father, Lord, that You take this broken bread, Father, Lord God, and Lord, You share that with lives and hearts of people that need to be encouraged, Father. And Lord, I just thank You and I praise You, Father, Lord. Lord, let this word, Father, Lord God, just set at our heart's door, Father, Lord, and knock. And knock, Father, Lord God. Let us meditate on that, Father, Lord God. And we just thank You and we praise You, Father, Lord God. And Lord, thank You for all that have come out today, Father, Lord God. Bless them. And Lord, let them say it was good, Father, Lord God. It was good when we came together and we broke the bread of life, Father, Lord. And we just thank You and we praise You, Father, Lord. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Amen.